The Voice of Reason Broadcast Network is proud to present Mark Weber's World Watch. Mark Weber is director of the Institute for Historical Review, an independent think tank and publishing center. Visit them at ihr.org. Now, here's your host, Mark Weber.
Hello. In recent years, quite a lot of media attention has been given to what is called Holocaust denial. That is, remarks and writings that dispute the familiar claim that 6 million Jews were systematically exterminated in Europe during World War II. And in recent months, there's been some clamor over the Holocaust denial remarks of Bishop Richard Williamson. What's all this about? As I'll explain, the uproar over Holocaust denial is not a clamor or controversy about historical truth, the role of history in society, anti-Semitism, or hate. It's really about power, about those who wield it in our culture, as well as about how and why that power is used. First, let's take a look at the Bishop Williamson case. Richard Williamson is a 68-year-old English-born traditionalist Roman Catholic who was fiercely criticized earlier this year for his unconventional remarks about the treatment of Jews in Europe during World War II. In a Swedish television interview, which has been widely viewed on the internet and quoted widely in the media, he expressed the view that no more than 300,000 Jews died in German concentration camps during World War II, and that none were killed in gas chambers. The uproar, which has received wide media attention, began in late January after Pope Benedict lifted the excommunications of Williamson and three other renegade bishops as part of an effort to heal a rift with a conservative Roman Catholic group that opposes liberalizing trends within the Church. As the controversy grew, Williamson was expelled from Argentina, where he had been living, and German authorities announced that they might bring criminal charges against him. In Germany and some other European countries, it is a crime to deny, justify, or play down World War II genocide of Europe's Jews. And German authorities claim the right to prosecute anyone, anywhere, who makes denial remarks that can be accessed through the Internet. After returning to his native Britain, Williamson issued an apology for the harm and hurt caused by his remarks. In California, Cardinal Roger Mahoney took the unusual step of issuing a ban against Williamson, prohibiting him from entering any Roman Catholic church, school, or other facility in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. In a statement issued in early March, Cardinal Mahoney said, "Holocaust deniers like Williamson will find no sympathetic ear or place of refuge in the Catholic Church." This edict is apparently unique. It is the only such ban ever issued by a cardinal in the United States. This declaration shows that Roman Catholic leaders, at least in the U.S., regard Holocaust denial remarks as the most objectionable of transgressions, much more grave, for example, than remarks against long-standing Catholic teachings on abortion, homosexuality, or assisted suicide. Let's put this in perspective. Bishop Williamson's unconventional views are not limited to this one issue. He has repeatedly said that 9/11 was an inside job, that is, that the September 11, 2001 terror attacks in New York and Washington were organized by the U.S. government. But no one has demanded that Williamson apologize for charging that high-level U.S. officials carried out mass murder of their own fellow citizens. Indeed, if the U.S. government were to insist on such an apology, it would rightly be regarded as an act of arrogant effrontery. Williamson's nonconformist views about crimes committed in the United States 7 years ago are considered strange but inconsequential. but his dissident views about the treatment of Jews in Europe more than half a century ago are treated as thought crimes. As I have mentioned, Holocaust denial remarks or writings are thought crimes in several European countries. And right now, two men are in prison in Germany for having violated that country's Holocaust denial law. These two men, Ernst Zündel and Germar Rudolf, are the most prominent thought criminals in the Western world today. Ernst Zündel, a German-born publicist, graphic artist, and publisher, has been held behind bars for more than 6 years now. He was arrested in February 2003 at his home in eastern Tennessee, where he had been living quietly with his wife. He was seized by American authorities on the pretext that he had missed an interview date with U.S. immigration authorities, even though he had entered the U.S. legally, was married to a U.S. citizen, had no criminal record, and was acting diligently and in full accord with the law to secure status as a permanent legal resident. After being held for 2 weeks, he was deported to Canada. For 2 years, from mid-February 2003 to March 2005, he was held in solitary confinement in Canada as a supposed threat to national security. He was then deported to Germany, where he was promptly put behind bars on a charge of inciting hatred by having written or distributed texts that, quote, approve, deny, or play down genocidal actions carried out by Germany's wartime regime, and which, again quoting, denigrate the memory of the dead, that is, in this case, the Jewish dead. The first and foremost of the writings cited in the indictment against Zündel were texts posted on the Zündel site website, which is registered and maintained by his wife in the United States, where all such writings are entirely legal. Zündel's three-month trial concluded in February 2007, when a court in Mannheim sentenced him to 5 years imprisonment for the crime of popular incitement under Germany's Holocaust denial statute. The 14 specific violations cited by the court included postings on the U.S.-based Zündel site website. The court thus upheld claims by German authorities to punish individuals for writings that are legal in the country where they are published. Since the sentencing, Zündel's home has been a cell in the Mannheim prison. Germar Rudolf, who was born in Germany in 1964, began a serious investigation of the gas chamber issue while enrolled in a doctoral program at the prestigious Max Planck Institute for Solid-State Physics. The youthful chemist went to southern Poland to carry out a detailed forensic examination of the alleged gas chambers at the sites of the notorious wartime German camps of Auschwitz and nearby Birkenau. He concluded that, for a variety of technical reasons, the alleged extermination facilities there could not have been used for mass killings as claimed. After the publication in 1993 of his findings, he was dismissed from the institute, and a court in Stuttgart ruled that his report, quote, denies the systematic mass murder of the Jewish population in gas chambers, and therefore constitutes, again quoting, popular incitement, incitement to racial hatred, and defamation. In 1996, Rudolf was sentenced to 14 months in prison. Rather than serve the sentence, he fled the country, first to England and then to the United States. While in the U.S., he ran a publishing firm that issued an impressive array of scholarly revisionist books, and he oversaw the publication of two revisionist periodicals, one in German and one in English. In October 2005, he was arrested in Chicago, and a few weeks later was deported to Germany, even though he and his American wife, a U.S. citizen, were parents of a young daughter. He immediately began serving his original 1996 German prison sentence. His trial on more recent denial crimes began in Mannheim in November 2006 and concluded 4 months later, on March 15, 2007, when the court sentenced him to 2.5 years in prison. Since then, he has been held in a prison in Heidelberg, Germany. Perhaps the most high-profile victim of Holocaust denial laws has been David Irving, the controversial British historian and author of many books, including quite a few best-selling works. He was seized in Austria in November 2005 on the basis of an outstanding warrant for his arrest for the crime committed 16 years earlier of having expressed dissident views about the wartime treatment of Europe's Jews. After a sensational trial in Vienna, Irving was sentenced to 3 years in prison for supposed denial remarks that violated a law imposed by the occupation authorities in 1945 to prevent a revival of National Socialism. Irving's arrest and trial generated tremendous media attention, including editorials and opinion pieces in newspapers around the world condemning the unusual laws under which he and many others in Europe have been imprisoned, fined, or forced into exile. In December 2006, after 13 months in prison, Irving was released ahead of schedule and then expelled from Austria.
Don't go away, because there's more on Mark Weber's World Watch. You're listening to the Voice of Reason Broadcast Network. Visit us at reasonradionetwork.com.
Is AB News Minute. President Barack Obama makes a surprise visit to Iraq, his first since becoming commander-in-chief. He flew to Baghdad from Turkey after wrapping up an 8-day trip overseas. Obama will spend time with troops and meet with Iraqi officials. The death toll from an earthquake in Italy jumps to more than 200 people. The search continues for those missing, with officials saying rescue efforts will go on for 2 more days. The magnitude 6.3 quake struck central Italy. Just released footage of North Korea's rocket launch shows it blasting off in a plume of smoke. North Korea says it put a satellite into orbit. The U.S. says the launch was mostly a failure, with pieces of the rocket falling into the Pacific Ocean. Grown-ups dreaming of becoming kids again and joining the circus got their wish at New York's Madison Square Garden at these clown tryouts. Only a handful will get the call into the big top, traveling with the greatest show on Earth. Lee Powell, The Associated Press, with AP News Minute.
Let's return to Mark Weber's World Watch, brought to you by the Voice of Reason Broadcast Network, reasonradionetwork.com. And now, here is your host, Mark Weber.
The Zundel, Rudolph, and Irving cases are by no means unique. Among the many other victims of Europe's Holocaust denial laws have been Gaston Armand Armandrous, and Jürgen Graf in Switzerland, Jean Plantin and Georges Thiel in France, Günter Deckert, Hans Schmidt, and Frederick Tobin in Germany, Pedro Vieira in Spain, and Siegfried Verbeke in Belgium. Europe's leading revisionist scholar has been Robert Faurisson. Over the years, this professor of literature, now retired, has endured several attacks by Jewish thugs, including a nearly fatal assault in September 1989. Faurisson has been obliged to defend himself many times in French courts for his bold writings and statements on the Holocaust issue. For example, on October 3, 2006, a court in Paris found him guilty of Holocaust denial for having said during an interview with Iranian television that there was never a single execution gas chamber used by the Germans during World War II. That remark, the court found, constituted, and I quote, complicity in contesting the existence of a crime against humanity, unquote, as determined by the Inter-Allied Nuremberg Tribunal of 1945-1946. The court gave Dr. Forasone a suspended prison sentence of 3 months and fined him 7,500 euros, or about $9,500. One of the highest-profile denial cases has been that of Roger Garrody, a French scholar who had joined the anti-German resistance during World War II and for some years sat in the French National Assembly as a Communist Party deputy. He later broke with communism and converted to Islam. Following the publication in 1995 of his book, The Founding Myths of Modern Israel, he was charged under France's Guizot law against denial of crimes against humanity as defined by the Nuremberg Tribunal. After a trial that generated wide international attention, in February 1998, the French court found Garrody guilty and fined him the equivalent of $40,000. Another case that points up the strange character of these denial laws is that of Bruno Gollnisch, a French member of the European Parliament, who is also a professor of Japanese at Lyon University. During a news conference in October 2004, one of the questions he was asked dealt with the Holocaust and gas chambers. Gollnisch said that he did not, and I quote, question the deportations, nor the hundreds of thousands, the millions of dead. As far as the way they died, there has to be a debate. He went on to say, I do not deny the existence of deadly gas chambers, but I am not a specialist on this, and I think we should leave historians to discuss it, and this discussion should be free. Well, if you think that sounds reasonable, you don't live in politically correct Europe. For those remarks, Bruno Gollnisch was suspended from his teaching post and charged with violating France's law that makes it a crime to contest or dispute crimes against humanity as defined by the Nuremberg Tribunal. In January 2007, a court in Lyon, France, found Gollnisch guilty of, quote, the offense of verbal contestation of the existence of crimes against humanity, unquote. The court ordered him to pay 55,000 euros in damages. He was also given a three-month prison sentence, which, however, was suspended. One Holocaust dissident was even murdered for his views. François Duprat was a gifted young French historian, educator, and writer who had publicized the writings of a former concentration camp inmate, Paul Rassinier, who distributed a booklet entitled Did 6 Million Really Die?, and who also had published a revisionist article of his own entitled The Mystery of the Gas Chambers. As a result of such activism, the 38-year-old teacher was killed on March 18, 1978, when the car he was driving was blown up in a bomb blast. His wife, who was with him, lost the use of her legs in the attack. A Jewish remembrance commando and a so-called Jewish revolutionary group promptly claimed responsibility for the murder. Perhaps the most bizarre denial case is that of Robert Hepp, a professor of sociology at the University of Osnabrück in Germany. In 1998, a German court found that Dr. Hepp had broken the law by writing a sentence in Latin in a footnote of a 544-page book which referred to the claims of systematic extermination of Jews by poison gas in World War II camps as a fabula, that is, a fable. The court ruled that this single sentence, written not in German or English but in Latin, constituted popular incitement, that it libeled and denigrated the memory of the Jewish dead, and that this sentence could, quote, shake the trust in legal security of Jews who live in the German Federal Republic and considerably diminish their mental-emotional ability to live in peace and freedom. The court further ordered all unsold copies of the 554-page book destroyed. Europe's Holocaust denial laws are by no means spontaneous expressions of righteous humanitarian indignation, nor are they motivated by sincere concern for human suffering or historical injustice. They are instead the result of a well-organized campaign by powerful Jewish Zionist groups, including the World Jewish Congress and the Simon Wiesenthal Center, a campaign that has been supported by compliant non-Jewish politicians. In March 1982, the London-based Institute of Jewish Affairs, together with the World Jewish Congress, issued a report entitled "Making the Denial of the Holocaust a Crime in Law." The report laid out a detailed plan for Holocaust denial legislation in countries around the world and concluded, quote, "It is therefore essential to introduce special legal provisions against denial of the Holocaust." In our society, the Holocaust is held up as an icon of virtually religious stature. Expressions of disbelief are swiftly and fiercely punished. Holocaust blasphemy is routinely treated as more offensive than verbal assaults against the well-established religious beliefs and sensibilities of many millions in Europe and around the world. In short, Jewish feelings and sensibilities are regarded as more important than those of non-Jews. Jewish leaders, supported by many non-Jewish political figures and much of the media, insist on everyone's dogmatic affirmation of this totem, one that is used to further Jewish Zionist interests. Tony Jutt, a Jewish scholar who serves as director of the Remark Institute at New York University, has written, "The Shoah, that is the Hebrew term for Holocaust, is frequently exploited in America and Israel to deflect and forbid any criticism of Israel. Indeed, the Holocaust of Europe's Jews is nowadays exploited thrice over. It gives American Jews in particular a unique retrospective victim identity. It allows Israel to trump any other nation's sufferings and justify its own excesses with the claim that the Jewish catastrophe was unique and incomparable. And, in contradiction to the first two, it is adduced as an all-purpose metaphor for evil, anywhere, everywhere, and always, and taught to school children all over America and Europe without any reference to context or cause. This modern instrumentalization of the Holocaust for political advantage is ethically disreputable and politically imprudent." The Holocaust Remembrance Campaign reflects an arrogant view of Jews as a special and superior people. Abraham Foxman, head of the Anti-Defamation League, one of the most influential Zionist groups, has declared, "The Holocaust is something different. It is a singular event. It was not simply one example of genocide, but a near successful attempt on the life of God's chosen children and thus on God himself. It is an event that is the antithesis of creation as recorded in the Bible, and, like its direct opposite, which is relived weekly with the Sabbath and yearly with the Torah, it must be remembered from generation to generation." Holocaust denial laws violate ancient and universal standards of justice. They are a giant step backwards in the history of Western civilization. They inhibit free historical inquiry and restrict free speech. On the basis of these censorship laws, many dozens of book titles have been banned, and thousands of books and other writings have been removed from libraries, confiscated from publishers, and destroyed. Holocaust denial laws manifest and foster a witch hunt mentality. They have created a new class of thought criminals and prisoners of conscience. For the victims of these Orwellian laws, truth is no defense. These laws criminalize even factually true statements if they are judged to play down or whitewash the Holocaust or demean the memory of Jewish wartime dead. Denial laws are selective and one-sided. In countries where they are on the books, The Holocaust is the only chapter of history that cannot be freely discussed or debated. These laws uphold a blatant double standard that criminalizes writings and statements that Jews regard as offensive, while permitting writings that offend Christians, Muslims, and others. They sanction a privileged status for Jews and Jewish concerns. The Bishop Williamson affair, and more generally, the decades-old campaign against Holocaust denial, underscore a great social political danger. Not the danger of dissent or of historical error, but rather of ruthlessly enforced orthodoxy. Far more harmful than unconventional views about crimes committed or not committed more than 60 years ago is the well-organized global campaign backed with the power of police and courts that demands submission to an instrumentalized and dogmatically presented view of one chapter of history. This campaign is an expression of a hypocritical double standard that makes a mockery of the pretensions of supposedly democratic states to uphold freedom of speech and expression. A society's real hierarchy of values and of power is shown by what it prohibits. The Williamson affair and the campaign against Holocaust denial underscore a well-entrenched Jewish Zionist bias in the cultural life of modern Western society and remind us once again of the power behind that bias. Thanks for being with me today. I hope you'll join me for the next World Watch broadcast.
Thanks for listening. Mark Weber's World Watch returns Tuesday evening, 9 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us at ReasonRadioNetwork.com.